16. Revelation chapter 16, or maybe you should turn to chapter 19 because that's where I'm going to be. Chapter 19, it's 6. Anyway, I got the numbers reversed. And it will be a topical message today, this morning. I'm looking forward to getting back to Romans chapter 12, and we will do that in a couple of weeks. Back to our theme verse. Enjoyed studying it, and sometimes I get to studying and I just get overwhelmed by the amount of information. You say, well, preacher, we preached through those Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, then we've come back and we preached like 75 messages out of verse 1. There is so much there in these two verses, and I just feel like I want to make sure. And I believe the next sermon I preach from verse 2 will absolutely be the most practical one. And I hope maybe even the most helpful one. And of course, today's message, Revelation and chapter 19 and verse 6. You're going to get pretty quickly where we're headed, all right? So look at Revelation 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. Listen to this. For the Lord God, what? Omnipotent reigneth. For the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. I want to remind you this morning of the omnipotence of God. That's a biblical term. We just read it. It means that God is all-powerful. I was confronted this week just with various issues, not only in my life, but many others that are here in the congregation. And all of us every day face certain amount of detours or distractions or whatever that's allowed and has been and has come into our life. Some big, some small, but all of them affect us. You know, we think about the everyday wear of just the things that we encounter. I think about the Sphinx over in Egypt, and they say they don't really even know how old it is. But how did that Sphinx get wore down? Well, it's just the sand that hits it every day. Slowly wears it down. And so all of us every day face things in our life that just slowly wear us down. Then there's those things that come into our life that happen on occasion. And, we may have it, maybe it happens once a week or every other week, and maybe it's a relational problem with our children or a relational problem with our spouse. Maybe it's an employee problem or an employer problem. Maybe it's a financial issue. And those issues that come into our life that we encounter often, but not every day. And then we have those big things that come into our life, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, and so many other things, some great sickness or some, somebody says you have cancer or whatever the case is, those big things that come into our life. So really, these are the three things that we encounter on occasion. Some we encounter every day, just that daily grind. Some of those things that we encounter every other week, or maybe it's every week, maybe it's twice a week. Then there's those big things that come into our life that we encounter. Can I tell you that no matter what three categories they fit into, that God is bigger than your circumstance? That the God we serve is greater than anything that comes into your life. And as I was talking to one of the men during the men's advance these last couple days, I was reminded again that God does not allow, that nothing that comes into our life, nothing that we encounter in life, everything that comes into our life, it had to be run by God first. In other words, God has allowed that into your life. How many of you would say we live in a society where children, for the most part, not all, have a lack of discipline? All of us? We live in a society today that allows kids to kind of rule, if you would, and our society has just let this happen. I mean, look at the school systems and many of the things that are going on just in the last 2 or 3 weeks on Fox News. Those kids need parents who really care. You say, well, maybe they do have parents that really care. Well, for the most part, I'm being general in nature here, they have parents who have not disciplined them. And if you don't discipline a kid, if you don't, and that discipline means training them, if you're not going to train them and discipline them, the Bible says you don't love them. And I could show you scripture to back that up. Anyway, you don't love them. We need parents to discipline their kids, to train their kids at home so that when they go into society, whether it's at the school or the supermarket, they don't act like a bunch of heathens. I'm just going for it here. Would you not say that training your child, and the training of your child includes the discipline? Amen. It includes having a loving relationship with them and taking them fishing. You know, it includes taking them to get their nails done, you know. Not me. Men who do pedicures, I'm just not in your camp, man. But you know what? You go ahead. But, you know, a mother taking their daughter to get a pedicure and just spending time with them. You know, again, rules without reasons produce rebellion. And really it is rules without reasons and relationship produces rebellion. You got to have the rules and you got to have relationship. They go hand in hand. If you have one without the other, it gets off balance. A parent who truly has their kid's best interest in mind, it will include both rules and discipline. It will include both rules and relationships. That's what I was trying to say. Rules and relationship. God always has your best interest in mind. God always has your best interest in mind. And no matter what He has allowed to come into your life, there's a reason He's allowed that to come into your life. There's reasons. And you say, well, man, this daily grind is just really getting to me. Well, sometimes it physically gets to us, and you need to take a break. You need to take a vacation. We just had this discussion with one of the deacons this morning. There's times when you physically get tired and that you need a break physically. Maybe you need to get a checkup. Maybe you need to get a physical done by a doctor, a real one, not Google. But there's times, again, where that daily grind is getting to us emotionally and it just drains us. And there are times in which we need more than just a vacation. A vacation won't take care of that a lot of the times. We need the Lord. We need His strength. Our power is not going to get us there. Our power is not going to get us there. Our strength is not going to get us there. We need the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I remind you and tell you, God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your strength. I pray, the Lord, that You would help us today to see this again, this wonderful truth again. And Lord, may it remind us how big You are and how truly loving and kind You are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. Again, because when you face these detours in life, when you face the times in life in which are difficult, understanding who God really is will enable you to go through those issues, go through those problems. Understanding that God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. The word Almighty is used 56 times in the Bible and always refers to God. Always. Can I say that He is alone the Almighty One? He alone is all-powerful. He has abilities without limitations. He can do anything. He can perform anything at His will. He is infinite. Therefore, He is all-powerful. If you're an infinite being, then you're all-powerful. It just goes hand in hand. He is able to do anything, anything. But He is able to do anything consistent with His own nature. In other words, with who He is. In other words, does the omnipotency of God, is it limited? Does it have any limits? The answer is yes. Because God, who can do nothing contrary to His nature, in other words, He cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God that cannot lie. There are limits to His omnipotence because He can't go against who he is. He can't go against his nature. He can't go against his attributes. He cannot be tempted to sin, the Bible says. In James chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil. Number three, he cannot die. He is an eternal. If he could die, he would not be omnipotent. He would not be all-powerful. Makes sense, doesn't it? God cannot do anything contrary to his nature. He cannot do anything contrary to himself. Then, secondly, there's some self-imposed things that he has chosen to do or to include in his plan. So we know there's some things he cannot do because they're contrary to his nature, but there's some things that he's imposed upon himself and because of the plan. Number one, he has chosen not to spare his own son. Romans 8:32, God gave his own son for us. Think about that. The omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, gave his son for us. He chose to give his son for us. He did not choose to save anyone apart from his own son. Let's clarify this one. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Bible makes it clear there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to escape hell, the penalty of sin, the penalty of being selfish by nature. The only way to escape the wages of sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The only way to escape hell and have a home in heaven is through Jesus Christ. We live in a pluralistic society where, you know, seemingly they have the opinion that all roads lead there. And whether you choose Allah or Buddha or whatever area you choose, that all roads lead to heaven as long as you're sincere. The Bible makes it clear that is not truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus said himself, I am the way. He didn't say I was the best way. He didn't say he was part of the way. He said emphatically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Only way to heaven. Well, if he's all powerful, couldn't he? No, he imposes upon himself. He's the one who chose to do this. The Almighty One. The Almighty One gave his son for you, gave his life for me, died on the cross for me, shed his blood on Calvary for me. The infinite one died for me. That's something, isn't it? The creator of the universe died for me. The creator died for his creation. What love, what matchless grace, what love he took my place. He died for me on Calvary. He paid for my sins. He paid my sin debt on Calvary. He paid for my selfish nature on Calvary in order that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. That's the all-powerful God that we know. That's the all-powerful God that we serve. That's the all-powerful God that we put our trust in. He has displayed his power to us. Not only is he the Almighty One, and not only is he able to do anything consistent with his own nature, but he has displayed his power to us. He has displayed his power to us in creation. And I want to go read this particular verse because, again, this has come up a lot here of late. In Romans chapter 1, and I have my new Bible, so it may take me a while to get over there. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 20. Most of you are familiar with these verses. I'm actually going to jump back to verse 17. Romans 1 and verse 17. You ought to look at these afresh. Romans 1, verse 17. God has displayed his power to us. The Bible says, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As written, the just shall live by faith. Now look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Does it say was revealed or is? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Well, what does that mean? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? That God, the wrath of God is revealed. How can we look out and see the wrath of God revealed to us? Well, we see it by way of fossils. Fossils are proof of the wrath of God. Fossils were produced in the flood of Noah. When God sent rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, the rain fell from heaven. The Bible says the waters arose for 150 days. Though it rained for 40 days, the actual waters continued to rise for 150 days. The Bible says the great deeps were broken up. It wasn't just a rain event, but the Bible says there were gushers and volcanic eruptions and so many other things that were going on during the flood. Not just that little boat with the little animals sticking out of it that you see in nurseries, you know. Yeah, we had a picture, a mural done. This was years ago. It was either at the other church. But anyway, Greg Gidney actually painted it. And you can show Noah's flood in a little different reality pretty quickly. And it doesn't look as tame as what most nurseries make it look like. It was a catastrophic event. It was a cataclysmic event. It was a universal event. It didn't just impact the earth, it impact the universe. The universe was changed by the flood. The earth was a different ball after the flood. Totally different environment. God judged mankind. God judged mankind's sin. The wrath of God is revealed when righteous men look at it correctly, because unrighteous men do not. Unrighteous men hold up a fossil and say, 20,000 billion zillion years ago in a land far away. We laugh, but they laugh at us too. But a Christian should hold up a fossil and go, God judges sin. The wrath of God is revealed. When we see our tornado in Texas, most of us in Texas, we see a tornado, we go outside to watch it. People from the north think we're crazy, especially those people from Seattle area. It's Washington people. So what do we do in a tornado? What you do, Brother Frias, is you step outside your front door and you watch it. If it truly comes down into a spout and starts headed your direction, then take cover. You say, what do you do in the dark? You pray. If it's dark outside, you pray. In the light, you can see what's going on. But no, when we see a tornado, you know, the forecasters and the weather meteorologists and all these people talk about, you know, why this is happening and bring up climate change, right? Climate change has become the buzzword today. Can I tell you, as a Christian, get educated on what climate change is? There's actually a resource in our bookstore put out by the Answers in Genesis group, and they do a very good job. I've read this. I believe this is right on. And you can read about it and get educated on it. And don't let the liberal media get a hold of your brain and get you convinced of something that otherwise is not, and may not be, I'll say is not, I'll use the word may not be true. Get educated. But what we see a tornado, what should we say? Well, the unrighteous man says, well, the earth is changing, climate change, and they use all these other things and blah, 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 blah. And we would say, God judges mankind. In other words, God judged mankind. There were no tornadoes before the flood. There were no tornadoes before Noah's flood. There were no earthquakes before Noah's flood. The earth was pristine before Noah's flood. The earth was, I would use the word perfect before Noah's flood, besides the sin that entered into the world and that which came about with the stickers and stuff. I don't like stickers either. Hey, Brother Rick, next time you get a sticker, say, oh, God judges sin. Just say it. God, the wrath of God is revealed. God judged sin. I should say God judged it as you look at the sticker. Not, he may be judging you too, but not, I'm saying God judged it in the past. There were no stickers before the flood, or before mankind fell in the Garden of Eden. Oh man. The wrath of God, look back at verse 18 again. For the wrath of God is, doesn't say was, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. All right, so God has written the law of God upon every heart, the Bible says. Romans chapter 2, you can go read it later. God has written the law upon every heart. Mankind has a moral compass. It may be a little bit distorted because of sin, and it is distorted because of sin, but animals are not moral. Mankind is moral. Hello? It's what distinguishes us from the animals. By the way, mankind, we are not animals. Not according to the Bible. I know they teach our kids they're monkeys in high school and junior high, and then they think, well, why are they acting this way? Because you just taught them they're monkeys. But anyway, look back at verse 19. I'm getting distracted a lot. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Again, in their heart, God hath lit every man that cometh into the world. Verse 20, this is where I want you to see. For the invisible things of him, talking about God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even what? His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, you can step outside this morning. You can step outside right after church and you can look around you, and the things you see prove there is a God. It proves his external, his eternal, his power and his Godhead. I was just thinking about, again, yesterday as I drove back from Stillwater, Oklahoma. What a beautiful creation. What a beautiful creation that God made. And every time we look at creation, we say, man, there is a God who is all-powerful, a God who created all these things. We serve and we have a God who is all-powerful. He is the source of all power. Therefore, he must be the at least equal to or more powerful than anything or what? Anyone. The reason why atheists call themselves atheists and don't want to believe God is because they don't want to be accountable to him. For if he made everything, then he is therefore equal or more powerful than anything else. And we understand and we know that he is. His power never runs out. He gives power, but his power never diminishes. He knows all things equally and effortlessly, so he does all things equally and effortlessly. Don't think that when he created the worlds that he was tired afterwards. He didn't cease. He didn't get tired and have a day of rest. No, he ceased from creative activity to give us an example of a seven-day week. By the way, there's no explanation for a seven-day week other than creation. Go try to find one. And they have tried to make an eight-day week. They've tried to change it over the centuries here and there and over human history, and it never works. Somehow we're just like on a seven-day clock, our bodies are. Somehow. I don't know how that is. God made it. And God spoke creation into existence. He didn't get tired creating the earth. God doesn't get tired. God never rests. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Then understand that God is not a force. He is God. And when Star Wars came out, I remember my dad really honing in with us kids saying, God is not a force. The force be with you, that's not God. Maybe something else, but not God. He is God. He's not a force. He's the Almighty One, the I Am that I am. He's not Father Time. He's not Mother Earth. In fact, I get sad when Christians use those terms. There's no Mother Earth. There's no Father Time. God is the one who holds all things by the word of his power, according to Hebrews 1:3. All laws, all natural laws are governed by God, not nature. Colossians says, He is before all things, and by Him all things what? Command it consist. We use that word consist, which means He's the super glue that holds it all together. In Him, Acts 17, when Paul was on Mars Hill preaching to the Athenians, he said to those atheists, those humanists, he said that it was God who made all things, and that by Him all things were made that were made. And without Him is not anything made that was made. In Him we live, he said to the Athenians. In Him we live and move and have our being. Only reason why you're alive today is because of God. Only reason why this world, the universe, doesn't just go away is because of God. He holds it all together. He is the glue. He is not only the creator, but the curator. God is all-powerful. If God is all-powerful, and He is, the benefits of that is that He alone can bring about salvation. We're saved by His power, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. If you're still there, we'll read it. Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're not only saved by His power, I'm talking about saved from the wrath of God upon our sins, saved from hell to have a home in heaven. We are saved by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life for three and a half years, who died on the cross, who shed His blood on the cross, not for sins He had done, but He died for our sins. He paid our sin debt, as I said before. He was buried, and then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, having paid for our sins in full, and putting our trust in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves us. We are saved by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God, according to 1 Peter 1:5. I'm thankful I don't have to keep myself saved. God's keeping me saved. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand, according to John chapter 10. And then we witness in His power. In other words, we go forth, we tell others about Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said what in Matthew 28? And lo, I am with you always. He is with us as we talk to others about Jesus. We talk to others about Jesus and His strength and His power. His strength, the Bible says, is our strength. Psalm 19, verse 14, the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Again, His strength is endless. He's promised to strengthen us. He's promised to strengthen us. Y'all believe that? You're a Christian here this morning. You're a saved, born-again believer. You're a child of God. God's promised to strengthen you. He's promised to supply all your needs. He's promised to strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He strengthens us. And He is all-powerful. It's hard for us to comprehend that. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to help us. He's promised to deliver us. Remember that He never gets tired. He never grows weary. God is all-powerful. He is a sovereign. He is a supreme being in the universe. We ought to rely upon Him. When I was a kid, there was a t-shirt that said, plug into the power source. Plug into the power source. On the back it said prayer. Plug into the power source. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How do you do that? You do that through prayer. You do that through trusting Him through that circumstances in your life. Whether it's the everyday grind or whether it's those things that come into our life once or twice or maybe three times a week, again, relational problem or a spousal problem, maybe a little financial problem. Then there's those things that come into our life, you know, maybe once a year or twice a year where someone dies in your family or those big catastrophes that happen in your life. Can I tell you that God is there for you? And that God is all-powerful. I am not all-powerful. The Bible says He is our strength. When I do things, my power runs down. Hello? Especially as I've gotten older. I think in my mind I still have the same strength that I used to have. And every once in a while I want to show my wife and my dad that I do, you know. I don't. And then I find myself, if I overwork myself, physically speaking especially, then bad things happen. Used to, I just do whatever, you know. Golly, pick up anything. I felt like I could pick up anything, do anything. I think God intended me to be a house mover. But now it hurts and you get tired quicker and hello, right? You know, you expend energy. It zaps you. It takes time to renew that energy. Understand, God never gets tired. In fact, the psalmist tells us he never sleeps nor slumbers. The God of Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. Your God never sleeps nor slumbers. My God never sleeps or slumbers. Doesn't need to. God's power is never diminished. Just as powerful today as he's ever been, or he will ever be. It's hard for our finite minds to understand that because, you know, we think about, again, back to climate change, we think about, you know, renewable resources, and we think about oil and the things it takes to energize things and to power things and how you deplete those resources, and you deplete the resources, and you deplete the resources. But can I tell you, God's not that way. His resources are never depleted. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, but when you do wrap your head around it a little bit, and then you do wrap your head around that God's promised to give you strength, that his strength is your strength, it'll help you when you face life difficulties. It will help you. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you as you remember that our God never sleeps nor slumbers. God never gets tired. One more thing and I'm done. Paul said in Corinthians, and we've talked about this verse a lot over the years, he says, though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. The outward man, our bodies are perishing. Bible says the appointed to man wants to die. We're all headed down that road. And you could do things to try to help and encourage, but the outward man perishes. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me tell you, the relational problems, the financial problems, the health problems, all the things, the difficulties we face, the detours in life that we face, the distractions that we face, all those things, God's promised to help us in. Just like we would help our kids when they have problems, God helps us. He strengthens us. How many times have you lifted the load for one of your kids? Not just maybe physically, I'm talking about maybe even financially or whatever else. You've helped your kids. You've strengthened them. Imagine having someone strengthen you whose resources never deplete, whose bank account never depletes, who's got plenty of food in the cupboard, right? Cupboard. Who uses that word anymore? Who's got the cure for every disease? Hello? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe it. God is our strength, our shield, our help in our time of need. And may we rely upon him, one who will never fail us, one who will never, never leave us nor forsake us. Understanding that our soul and our spirit can be re-energized every day. Think about, I love all the new technology with the, battery-powered machinery, battery-powered equipment. I love my cordless drill. How many of you men and ladies would say the same? I love it. How would you like to go back to the corded thing? No. I bought a cordless chainsaw. I bought one way back when they first started making them. They were junk. But I bought one here about a year and a half ago. Oh my goodness. A chainsaw, battery-powered chainsaw that can get the work done. It's amazing. My favorite tool is a battery-powered spotlight that I bought. I think I've told you all that before. 2,500 lumens. I can sit on my back porch and light up the fire station. I live by the fire station. I can see Highway 156 and blind all the drivers as they go around. No, hunting for coyotes. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing how you can take that battery off and you just plop it in the charger. I have Ryobi and I have DeWalt, mostly Ryobi. And so I have a 6-bay charger for my Ryobi batteries. Don't think I have 6 batteries, but I have like 4. Boom, 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 put them in there. They all charge up. Ready to go again. Ready to go again. Can I tell you, the Bible says that practically speaking, every morning we should get up. Every morning we should get up. We should go to the Lord in prayer. Plug into the power source. Every morning we should get up and we should take a few minutes and spend some time in prayer and reading our Bibles, having a devotional time. I can't encourage it enough because the Bible says it'll renew you. It'll renew. Though the outward man perish, yet you can be renewed day by day. The morning star, the Bible says, the morning star can arise in your heart and put your trust in the God whose power never diminishes. A power source that's unlimited. And by the way, I plug my, charger into the plug. That plug doesn't care a hill of beans about me. But my God, He cares about me. He cares about me, and He wants the very best for me. He has my best interest in mind. He'll always have your best interest in mind. Let's all stand. Sing a verse of invitation. Hymn 161, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. As the Lord leads you, once you come this morning and pray, maybe you need to come and lay some things at His feet. Maybe you come and pray and cast your care upon Him. He cares for you this morning. If you need somebody to pray with you, there's people here that'll pray with you. And again, we're going to sing softly and tenderly after I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us and sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, for someone here this morning who does not know You as their Savior, Lord, may they trust in You today. And Lord, I know in this room and maybe some watching who are hurting, Lord, who have faced difficulties even this past week. And God, I pray that You would encourage and strengthen them as only You can. Lord, may they plug into the power source. Again, we love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.